TLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Many of you probably don't know that out in the middle of Pike Township, in beautiful Pike Township, sits one of Indiana's oldest television station at 64 years young, Channel 4. And Indianapolis's almost newest television station at 31 years, Channel 59. It's Fox 59, it's CBS 4, all in one building in Pike Township. And it's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for Tuesday, January the 27th, 2015. I'm Amos Brown, and I don't know why we've been trying to come out first to Fox 59, like forever. Fanchon Stinger is here. We've been trying for like almost 2 years to come out here. Then they get a big brother, big sister. Fanchon's got to explain to me, you know, what the gender is of CBS4. Now two stations, two news departments, two public affairs, two community affairs, two big networks all in one building. And I'm out here today, finally, when it's a heavy news day. But again, it's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We will be talking tomorrow about the governor's big announcement, this morning that he and the Obama administration cut a deal to allow Medicaid expansion to exist, that will begin effective on Sunday, February the 1st, for everyone that is on Medicaid. In our second hour tomorrow, the folks from the governor's office will try to walk you through what those changes are going to be. And for many of you who have tried to get insurance coverage under the Affordable Care Act and you're just above the poverty level and you're not making Chris Wright money, there's an option for you under HIP 2.0. That's on the program tomorrow. We'll also talk in our first hour tomorrow with Lanier Eccles. She's the interim principal of the Carpe Diem Charter School. We'll talk to her. That's her day job. So we'll talk about the day job. We'll also talk about her part-time job, and that is one of the newest members of the IPS school board. But today we are out here to find out what is really going on with Fox 59 and CBS 4. It's an opportunity to find out, as we said about a year ago, the role and the nature of local television, not just in Indianapolis, but all across the country, is changing. Websites are important. Local news is important. Many stations across the country, particularly network affiliates, are not reducing news. They're adding news. And Fox 59's got... they got more news than the cows allow. They have some, but they don't even know how much news they do. They just keep doing it. And then CBS4, and it is unusual in a city and a community this size. Indianapolis is the 27th largest television market. It comprises over 40 counties here in central Indiana. It is unusual that in a market this size, in a community this size, there are two major news departments under the same roof. So this is going to be an opportunity for our community to understand what's Fox 59 all about, what is the new CBS 4 all about, what goes into news coverage, how do you do it, how do you not do it, as well as community affairs, public service, all that good stuff. And that's just me talking with the bosses. But I also have, let me first start with the entertainment value, the people that everybody knows in the house, Fanchon Stinger of Fox 59 News. She's here. Chris Wright, I'm so happy that the roads were dry between downtown and out here. Meteorologist for CBS 4. The legendary Debbie Knox is here in the house to make sure that I behave myself when I'm out here at CBS 4. And then Bob Donaldson, who has been at Fox 59 ever since it began as Fox 59. He's still on Fox 59, but he gets to commute every night at around just before 11 o'clock from Fox 59 News to CBS 4 News. And we'll find out whether he has gotten confused at all yet. But we want to begin with the two top management people at any television station. Is the vice president and general manager, and is the news director. Paul Rennie is the vice president and general manager of CBS 4 and Fox 59. Kerry Cavanaugh is the head news person, is the news director of all of this stuff. Guys, welcome. It's a pleasure to finally get out here.
Well, thanks, Amos. It's great to have you here. It's been an interesting time here for the past year and a half that I've been here anyway. As you mentioned, that you know, news continues to expand, and we've certainly done that to start off with on Fox 59, where we right now broadcast 66 hours of local news a week. And as you mentioned, for the 27th market here in Indianapolis, that's a tremendous amount of news. At the very end of June, beginning of July, we launched an 11 o'clock news. We wanted to jump into that time period, NewsPoint, so we added a half hour there Monday through Sunday. And then in September, we decided we were going to launch a 7 p.m. news, and we had actually made plans on doing that about the same time as we decided to launch an 11 p.m. news. So as we were busy planning our 7 p.m. news on Fox 59, we got word that we were going to be the new CBS affiliate here in central Indiana on January 1st. So on top of what was already a very busy year for us, starting, I think it was, August 11th, we got word that we were going to be CBS. And what that instituted for us, actually, was building a whole new studio, hiring a CBS 4 news team, and producing another 25 hours of local news each week. So it was a tremendous undertaking. And we've got a building off a great team. And as you mentioned, we've got Chris Wright with us, and Debbie Knox, and Bob Donaldson joined us for the CBS 4 as well as the Fox 59. So we've got every week about 90 hours of local news right here in Pike Township, as you mentioned.
You all are owned by Tribune, the people that created the they're born out of the Chicago Tribune newspaper, Los Angeles Times newspaper, a number, WGN, the legendary WGN in Chicago, a number of TV stations across the country. And I understand that Tribune Broadcasting owns more television stations than almost any company?
We're in 33 markets. We own about 42 television stations. So many of our markets, we run duopolies.
Now, duopoly, that means you got two in one building.
Yeah, that means we run two TV stations. So before we were CBS, we were CW and Fox. In Seattle, for instance, they run a Fox station and an independent station there. Their second station is branded as Joe TV. And there are a few other markets where we run duopolies, two stations out of one building. But as far as news is concerned, we do more news here in Indianapolis than any other Tribune television stations and Tribune duopolies.
So now, Kerry Cavanaugh, you're the news director. How does somebody run and supervise 80-some-odd hours of news a week?
I don't sleep. No, honestly, I have a fantastic team of people that that are out in that newsroom that help put this product on day in and day out, and I certainly could not do it without them.
In terms of, let me first go with Fox 59, because they've been the ones around here longer. How would you describe Fox 59's news and information mission?
You know, our mission has always been that we're always on, and that plays to the fact that we do have so many hours of news each day. Chances are we're on was a slogan that we have used in the past, and it fits quite well because we are, you know, when one newscast is done, we're gearing up and ready for the next one that will be on very shortly. But it's covering the community. It's covering news that matters to our viewers and giving them everything that they want and then giving them something a little extra, especially with our morning show. You know, we like to do things a little differently in the mornings.
I was going to ask that. What is with the couch? And the only reason I say, the only reason I say that is no one in town has a couch on television, especially a couch that it looks like could hold 12 to 15 people.
We should have done the interview on the couch. That would have been great. No, you know, it's an inviting atmosphere. It's a way for us to just kind of sit back and, you know, people are getting ready in the morning, they're doing their things, and we're just kind of having conversations and talking with the viewers and talking about stories that are important, stories that they're going to be talking about with their friends later at work. So it's a way to just kind of have a different feel. It's more conversational, it's a little bit more laid back, and it allows our anchors, in the morning to really shine because they all have such wonderful chemistry together, and when we are able to bring in guests in the morning and instead of sitting at a desk, you know, let's just have a talk on the couch. And I think it puts our guests at ease as well.
In terms of So you're sitting here doing 60-some-odd hours of news, and then your general manager comes and says, such a surprise corporate has for you. How then do you differentiate Fox 59 News and what viewers came to expect when they turned to Channel 59 and differentiate that with CBS 4?
That's a million-dollar question. And that's the question.
We got to be careful because the competitors are all listening and they're taking notes.
Yes, but we're not giving away any trade secrets here. But it's a challenging question. But what we had to do was to say, okay, we have this amazing opportunity to add to our growing product and how we can have two different voices, two different stations to serve the community and, figure out how we can take advantage of everything we have under this building and use it as a giant content gathering center and just get content, get stories, have more reporters that are on the streets, talking to people and finding out what's happening in the community. And then taking that information and that content and then figuring out how it's going to go on both stations. You know, we've just kind of started. We're less than a month. January or February 1st will be on the air for a month. Feels a little longer than that. But we are, every day we're having conversations and we're saying, how does Fox and CBS work together and how do they both have their own same identity?
Let me go over here to Fanshawn Singer because you're just a CB, you're just a Fox 59 person. I get confused with all this. With a Fox 59 person, how would you describe your newscast?
Our newscast basically is an extension of what the conversations are that are going on in the community. The conversations that you are having in your workplace, the conversations you're having in your homes, our intention is to be an extension of that conversation. The things that matter to you, we hope that we can bring some of those issues, some of those conversations, some of those concerns, some of those triumphs, some of those things we celebrate all to the table and as a community experience them together. So Fox 59, it's going to be the same that you've come to expect. We're a little bit fresh, we're fast, we're hip. We're not
going to ask that. Is the perception correct that Fox 59 viewers are somewhat younger than the traditional local news viewers?
I don't know if it's just that our viewers are younger. I think it's that our viewers want to be informed. Our viewers want to be up on what's going on. Our viewers want to stay relevant. Age is just a number. So you can be 60 years old and want to be in the know. But our audience tends to be upwardly mobile, professional, people who care. That doesn't mean that we're excluding anyone, though. We are a true representation of every level of our community, which includes different socioeconomic statuses.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. You may have questions about Fox 59 News or what they do in the community or CBS 4 and what they do in the community. We've got folks that can answer the question. They can go out here in this building and find somebody that can answer the question. Or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or 239-1310. How long have you been here? People come to Indianapolis and they get settled and then time flies. You've been here now how long?
4.5 years.
Boy, time flies when you're having fun.
It does time fly when you have fun, yes.
You've done a number of things on air that have touched the community. You tried to find everybody in town a job.
Yes, and we're still doing that. You
still
know?
Doing that? Wait, is that how Chris got the gig? He responded to Fanshawn hiring people.
Thank you very much.
See, it works.
Well, we know that when people work and people have something that they are contributing to, that translates into stronger families, that translates into stronger communities, that translates into a stronger economy. So we can focus on putting people to work in our community. That's going to elevate all of us in central Indiana, and that's going to make each and every one of our communities that much better. So we are very aware of our role and our responsibility as it relates to not just covering the news, but being a part of this community.
Now, before I'm going to get to Bob and Chris in a bit, because we talked to them about a month ago. I got to go over here to Debbie. Because, see, Debbie's about to become my role model, and here's the reason. She retired. I went and had the cake. I had the champagne. And I'm saying to myself, okay, down the road, maybe I'll retire one of these years. And then all of a sudden you're back.
I'm back. Can you believe that? We did do all that celebrating and this has been even more fun. So
everybody thought I'm going to go to France. I'm going to take safari. What, what made you change your mind?
You know, I thought about it a long time. When I found out August 11th that there was going to be this switch, I thought that was a very interesting event. And up to that point, I had not planned on doing anything different. I, like you said, I'd been to France, went to Vegas, kind of fooled around, was having a good time. And then I heard from management here, and I also heard from Mr. Donaldson, and he said, would you consider thinking about this? And, you know, the more I thought about it, and I thought, you know, after this kind of historic change, this could be a good fit, and I'd had a number of months off. I'd had time to breathe and relax and think and reflect, and it became a good idea to me, and I think to everybody here on the staff. So it was that process, and it took a little time, and I thought about it a long time, but it's been fun, and I'm enjoying it.
Did the family say you were tired of Debbie moping around the house? She needs to get out and get busy?
Well, I think, I was down to cleaning doors, if you can imagine, at my house and walking the dog. Yeah, my husband was saying, maybe you do need to get going here, you know. So there, I had the support of family. I had the support of my kids, and they all thought it was a good idea. And so I thought, well, why not? Let's get back in the game. I like the game. It's just that I think I needed a little breather, so I got that.
And to have Debbie Knox call Bob Donaldson Mr. Donaldson, geez, Louise, my.
You know what the truth is? The truth is I wore her down. I mean, she was like, that guy, he's calling me again. Stop.
But you kind of thought this would be a good fit for what the company was trying to do.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as I found out about it, and it was a closely guarded secret. I mean, nobody knew. And it was a big surprise to everybody in this room. I can tell you that for sure. But as soon as it happened, in fact, Chris Wright was the one who called me up because I, you know, work these nighttime hours, and sometimes I may sleep until, you know, 10 in the morning. And I get this call from Chris Wright at around 9 o'clock and said, man, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? And so immediately I thought, okay, here's an opportunity. What a unique opportunity for this organization to be able to bring back somebody like Debbie Knox and to bring back somebody like Chris Wright, two people who I've known for more than 20 years and some people who can serve the community better than anyone that I know.
How difficult is it? You got to do two newscasts and you got to remember what the heck you're doing. How many times have you forgotten?
You know, we did run throughs for about a month, and there was once, just once, I slipped because Chris tossed it back to me, and I said, "Thanks, bye, Chris." But that's been it. And you know, you talk about the differentiation between both channels, and that's real. And so it's been a lot easier for me than I thought. Because when you walk from one studio to the next in literally 2 minutes, because that's how much time I have to go from the Fox set.
When we talked to him on the air, he was lobbying for four. You didn't give him four.
No, that was actually a thing. Because when we talked about this, they said, oh, you know, hey, you know, maybe we'll let you out of the last segment of the Fox show. And then all of a sudden, when it became a reality, it was like, oh no, you have to put. I wear three microphones. They come out during the 10 o'clock news. I'll give you a little behind the scenes here. They come out during the 10 o'clock news in one of the commercial breaks, and they put down all the CBS equipment that I have to put on. And yeah. And so I put on three microphones and two IFBs, which is how the producer talks to you in your ears, you know. And, I walk very briskly. In fact, even before the 10 o'clock news is over, you'll notice when we toss over to Newspoint for their preview of what's coming up, I actually get up and I, not run, but I walk very briskly over to the other studio. And the funny thing was they would open the door to the studio. And for the first couple of weeks, I would hear the production staff, you know, say in their headphones, "Who's here? He's here. It's okay. He's here." Because it was, you know, a little bit tense. And so I sit down with about a minute to go. But, you know, there's enough preparation involved that you can look at your scripts and you can, you know, get prepared for the show. That's just part of my challenge every day. But I got to tell you, work is something that people do with a shovel. I mean, this is fun. I mean, it's great, the opportunity that we have.
239-1310, 239-1310. Now, before we take the first break, let me go over here because I'm happy that it's sunshine and the roads are clear and Chris Wright. So now there have not been any weather fights between you and Brian?
Brian and I actually have a meeting every day. We sit down and talk about the forecast. I've been lucky that I work with a lot of experienced meteorologists, but a lot of times they work one shift and you work the other. You rarely have a time where two guys with the kind of experience we have work the same shift and you can talk to them on a regular basis. So he and I sit down every day and we figure out what the forecast is going to be so that we're pretty close. With news, there's more competition between stations, but with weather, there's only one story. It's either going to rain, or it's going to snow, or it's going to be sunny, and we want to make sure that we're coming to an agreement on what the story is.
What's going to happen when we get to, because we really have not had really bad, severe weather yet. Is that the real test? Because you've got new fancy technology, and Brian has almost new fancy technology.
Actually, they upgraded both stations to new equipment at the same time, so Brian's going to have some new equipment beginning today that you'll be able to see on Fox 59.
Oh, now all the other news departments have said it to, oh, they got new stuff. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I didn't know that. Now, Chris will let the cat out of the bag. Yep.
They were going to watch you all starting at 4 anyway.
We hope so. We want everybody to watch every day.
And but you get to use the video screens and not the other traditional, what's called the green screen, to do the weather.
Yeah, when I first came in, they were showing me the set, and I was looking around and I didn't see the chroma key, because traditionally that's how you do weather with the blank green.
The green or the blue, yeah.
The green screen behind you, and you look at the monitors on the side, and there's never anything behind you. That's how I've done weather for 27 years. So Carrie says, oh yeah, by the way, we're not doing chroma key. And it's like, okay. And she shows me this big 9 monitor. I said, what's that? She says, that's what we're going to do weather. It's like, there's actually going to be something behind me for the first time when I turn and I point to Muncie. Muncie is there, and I'm not pointing to a blank spot on the map. So it's going to be really interesting. It's been really interesting learning how to use it and getting better at it, and it's really going to help us a lot during severe weather, because it takes a little bit of the guessing out of it.
Because then you'll see what do y'all call this, guardian thingamajiggy?
Guardian radar. I will see what you see at home versus standing in front of the blank screen.
So when people see that red spot moving fast, you'll be able to say, you're looking at the spot along with the viewers. It's getting ready to hit Broad Ripple, and after Broad Ripple, it's going to Castleton.
And I'll be able to zoom in on it and show you exactly what's inside of it and what you need to be concerned about.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's the name. When we come back, we'll take your questions and calls and also ask the folks about news coverage, public service, the importance and the role of websites, and the other big question that everybody asks about news, where's the good news? When does the good news come on? When do you show the positive things that go on, and particularly in the African-American community? Because we turn on the news and there's always some guy in a jumpsuit. Where is the positive news? How does the community impact and let places like CBS4 and Fox 59 know about the positive things? 239-1310. 239-1310. We'll take a break. We're live from Fox 59 and CBS4, or is it CBS4 and Fox 59, out here in beautiful Pike Township after these.
Hi, this is Linda L.C. Clemens, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. We are out here at Fox 59 and CBS4 with Paul Rennie. He's the Vice President and General Manager, Carrie Cavanaugh. She's the News Director, and you need to know women are growing as maybe almost the predominant group of leadership in television newsrooms today. So it's not just, because what is it? There's now, what, two female news directors. Okay. Three. That's what I thought it was. That's what I thought it was three. Along with Debbie Knox, Chris Wright, and Van John Stinger. 239-1310. 239-1310. We are out using modern technology out here, which means there's a bounce between the time I say you're on the air and you're on the air. So Brian is up first at 239-1310. Brian, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My questions are pertaining to, I would like to know, when does the general manager plan on covering hard-hitting factual news? In that, I think the Indianapolis market is downplayed on the level of knowledge with regarding things like Angie's List story that's breaking. You see it in the Star. When will you guys ask the hard-hitting questions regarding how the subsidies and subsidizing of entities, sports, businesses, and you guys, your trucks have to be tearing up just as much as my private vehicle is on these streets. Why aren't you running stories such as this with regards to things that are pertinent to the community and neighborhoods of Indianapolis, and stop beating the dead horse with regards to the Deflategate. I've had it up to here with regards to that. That game is over and gone. We're still driving on the streets of Indianapolis.
All right, Brian, you've made some excellent points. Let me kind of stress. Here's what Brian is talking about. Brian says, when will the general manager concentrate on his words, hard-hitting stories? He specifically talks about the Angie's List story. He specifically talks about stories having to do with government subsidies going to folks. He also specifically said, would y'all stop Deflategate? We lost the game. It's over with. Move on. And he also says, aren't your trucks out here on these bad streets with the potholes? Where are the reports on those? And let me first start, since he directed it initially at the general manager, Paul Rennie.
All right, thank you, Brian. Well, you know what, we try to obviously get out and get in the community and cover the stories that are out there. And, you know, we try to make sure that, you know, we cover the stories that are relevant and important, and certainly cover both sides to every story. And you know what, certainly we were out on the streets and driving through all those potholes. And I think we did some stories actually on the potholes last year when they were as bad as they were. So, is that?
Sherry Cavanaugh, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you all did stories yesterday on the whole Angie's List situation.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely did. So, you know, when we are in our each day, we talk about the stories that are happening out there. Everyone is required to come to the table and bring story ideas. And, you know, we do have a lot of news to cover, so we're able to cover a lot of different stories. And we select the stories that we feel have the biggest appeal to our viewers, the ones that maybe a specialized story, but we know that the other viewers are going to be interested in what that outcome is. So, you know, it is talking about the stories like Angie's List, and I believe we had a guest on yesterday to talk about, you know, that process and why they were out there asking for more money when they had already presented their plan and all of that. So every day it's taking a look at what all the stories that we can cover and going out there. We need to hear from our viewers. We need our viewers to tell us what's happening in their neighborhood so we can go out there and cover those stories. Potholes are obviously becoming a bigger problem. Every year we do the same stories, and we need to be out there and make sure that we're out there covering it. We can always do a better job of covering stories like that.
Is it also, I think, implicit in the caller's question, he said hard hitting. I've seen some stories on Fox 59, I'm talking about you, Russ McQuaid. What you've had Russ and some of your other Fox 59 reporters that have really been in people's faces saying, what in the Sam Hill is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have to have a balance of that. There's so much that's going on in our community that we want to make sure that we're covering every story in every neighborhood. And some of those are the Russ McQuaid investigation stories. And then some of them are maybe the story where we helped a couple who had been without heat for 2 months, and we got involved and we got heat back into their house. You know, it's finding ways that we can empower the community, inform them, and also try to do something good for them.
Is there a special investigative unit at either Fox 59 or CBS4, or is everyone an investigator?
Everyone's an investigator.
Is it fair to say that's a little bit different than the other stations?
Absolutely. The other stations do have a designated investigative team. We feel that it's important that anyone should be able to investigate and dig deeper onto a story. And so any of our reporters, our anchors, they are all considered investigators, and they can turn a deeper investigative story at any time.
Is that something, Bob and Fanshawe, that maybe viewers, because they don't see the artwork that says investigative or 59 on your side, that kind of thing, they think you're not doing it when you are?
Well, that's what the job is. I mean, inherently, every reporter, every anchor here, and we're very fortunate in that the anchors that we have here all have extensive reporting backgrounds. Fanshawe has worked in an investigative unit in Detroit. I've worked in various investigative units both here and in other markets that I've worked. I mean, that's inherently part of the job, and that's part of the challenge that each one of us has every single day. The stories that you brought up are stories that really we have covered extensively. And that's one of the advantages that we have with two news organizations here. The amount of reporters that are working right now, even as we talk, in another part of this building, to put together stories that are going to resonate with our community is really unprecedented for this market. There are more people working right now uncovering the type of stories that your caller just talked about than in any other place in town right now. And that's what makes this such an exciting place to be.
And Carrie talked about it specifically on the Angie's List, as we talked about it on the show yesterday, and I said, why are we doing this? But you all brought someone on yesterday on the news that was asking, yeah, why are we doing this, and is this a signal that Angie's List may not be the solid thing we think it is?
Well, and that's what our mission is to ask those questions and to be an advocate for our audience and to do stories that are going to resonate with our audience. The stories that your caller brought up are stories that we did because it resonates with him. It's something that these are questions that he has. And we have the ability, we have the power and the responsibility to ask those questions of the powers that be and put that on the air in a fair and hopefully objective way.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go back on my little screen, and we've got Harold. Harold, you're on at 239-1310. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Amos. I got a question for Chris. When you was on Fox 59, you had that tune of the Long Ranger. How come you didn't take it with you when you went to Channel 13?
Oh, we've got one of those intellectual property questions. Harold wants to know, said, when you were on Fox 59, when you were real young, back in the
day. Yeah, in the 90s.
You did the Lone, what was it, the Lone Ranger, the Lone Ranger or something?
Brian Wilkes used to do the Long Ranger forecast, yeah, the 7 day.
He's thinking you did it.
No, that was Brian.
That was Brian. Mm-hmm. He thinks you did it. Uh-oh. He's wondering why you didn't take it to the other place.
No, that was always Brian's thing. Yeah.
That's always Brian's thing.
Well, another Brian's question for Chris. Yeah. When you went to 13.
Caller thought it was your thing.
You, no, because you remember you used to have that Long Ranger theme music when you went into it? Yeah, that was Brian's thing. Yeah.
That was Brian's thing. Mm-hmm. Harold, you were trying to cause trouble up here in the weather ranks. Over here at Fox 59, 239-1310. 239-1310's After News with Amos. Let me go back to Everybody Investigates, which is a little different from the traditional local news where you have, where the station has two or three people, and on certain months of the year, they say, this is what we're going to do. In this, all of your reporters are that unit, so to speak?
Absolutely. They're out there covering the stories, and we have the advantage that because we do have a lot of staff, a lot of reporters with the addition of the CBS, we are able to be very selective in what we choose. And if we want to take somebody out of the day of streets of turning news that day, they can work on a story that they could turn for later in the week, as opposed to having, like you said, three or four people that show up only periodically throughout the year. Our reporters, our anchors, have that connection with the viewer all year round. And so when there's a story that we want to cover and we want to get deeper into it, we'll ask Debbie to jump on it, or Fanchon, or Bob, or Russ McQuaid, and we will do that. And so everybody, we have an Investigates brand, but the entire station is a part of that.
We're all human. Humans occasionally make mistakes. How do you, if a viewer sees something that's wrong, or a family member doesn't like how a story was done about their family member, how do you all want the community to approach Fox 59 and CBS 4?
We would love for them to reach out to us. There are times that we don't get everything right, or something gets written in a way that maybe perception is different than what it was intended to be. So we always want the viewers to reach out to us. And whenever we do that, they call me, they talk to the reporter, we will look into it immediately. If something needs to be fixed, we fix it immediately. We make sure that, we want to think of, our job is to cover the news, but we also want to make sure that we're doing it in a fair way. And, you know, if you have a victim's family who asks that a picture isn't being shown because it was given, we're going to take that into account. We're compassionate. We want to make sure that the viewers know that we are here to cover the news for them, but we don't want to be in a situation where we're going to cause any extra undue harm or stress or anything like that.
Is that with social media, Fanchon, that the community needs to understand that if somebody does something allegedly wrong, and they've got pictures all up and down their Facebook or their Instagram or their Twitter, and a reporter starts doing a search and finds those websites, those pictures are fair game.
Absolutely.
The community really need to understand, because someone said, where did they get that picture from? Well, somebody put it on, you put it on Facebook.
And you bring up a good point, because we live in a day and an age where anything you put on the internet can be considered public domain. It is public domain. So there's a responsibility with us being a news organization, but also with us as individuals. If you put something on Facebook and something happens, you can probably expect that the news organizations, people are going to have access to them. Now, with that being said, we also, as a news organization, have a responsibility to use the information we are gathering in a responsible way. And what I mean by when I say that is when we're writing a story or we're disseminating a story, it is up to us to make sure the information we're giving in that story is relevant. And the community really plays a part in that with us. We want the community to understand, yes, we're here to serve you. You are hopefully as an extension of us, and hopefully you feel that when you watch Fox 59 and CBS 4, because we believe that. We're passionate about that, and we consider it a responsibility. So if you see something in the community, if you see something that we do or say that you don't agree with or you think is wrong, we want you to feel as though you can contact us. That's why we put so many resources behind our social media platform. We want to make it easy for our viewers to connect with us, to communicate with us. And we put a lot of emphasis on making sure our viewers know, hey, yes, we're covering what's happening in your community, but we're doing it at the level that we are because we care.
How do you balance off when you're seeing something on your email or somebody hits your Facebook page or Twitter and they say, Fanshawn, you need to look under this rock. There's mess under there. How do you evaluate that?
When you talk about investigative reporting and being an investigator, yes, we are investigators, all of us are, but the community, you guys are too. You guys are the eyes and the ears on the street. So if you contact us and say, hey, there's something going on wrong here, there are people being taken advantage of here, we're counting on you to contact us and to give us those leads so that we can then take the power of the media and the resources that we have to take it to that deeper level, and hopefully, hey, we can get policy change, we can expose things that need to be exposed, with the ultimate goal of making our community better for all of us to live in. So really, we hope that your listeners watching or listening now understand that we see ourselves as an extension of you. We're not your enemy. We're not, you know, here to cover and to report on. We want to build those bridges so that we together collectively can work on solving problems, challenging each other, inspiring each other, uplifting each other, doing those things that we know collectively is going to make Central Indiana a better place for all of us to live in.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos over at the folks with Fox 59. So let me go back over here to Bob. Because I think what Fanshawn talked about in terms of how people react to local television,
sure,
and the whole good news piece. How does good news get on the air?
Oh, it's all part of the same, tableau. It's all part of the same mix that we try to put together. I mean, if you do stories that are negative and just do that drumbeat over and over and over again, it's an inaccurate portrayal of the community. And if you give that kind of an inaccurate portrayal of the community, then people aren't going to watch. And so you have to talk about the things that are going right. You have to give perspective. And that's where experience comes in, where you're not just going and doing every single negative thing that happens in a community. You are giving more of an overview. You are giving more perspective. So it's all part of the mix. It is all part of the thing that's going to make you successful.
One of the things that has changed in local television, and we heard this last year, Debbie may have remembered that conversation from another life, is a lot of times people say, well, there's all this stuff that happens in the evening and all these positive things happen at this dinner or this event or this charity function, and television is never there because local television has changed that nobody, and maybe that's different over here, nobody goes and covers the dinners or the luncheons unless one of the anchors is the MC. Is that a fair criticism?
I think that's a pretty fair criticism. I'm going to be honest with you. That happens when you have people who are making appearances in front of important organizations and you want to let everybody know that we're involved. And it's also important to know that we are always out in the community, and the cameras don't follow me around in every event that I go to. And I do a lot of events and a lot of speeches and a lot of appearances that isn't going to get a whole lot of publicity for me, but I can chat about it, and I get to know people. I get to know my community, and it's a two-way thing here. So I can understand that criticism, but I also think that it's not the total picture, because we're all very involved in the community. We're all very involved in being part of what this is all about in terms of Indianapolis and Central Indiana.
You talked about positive news, and Fanchon has actually started a new project that I hope we can talk about right
Another
now.
Another new one?
Well, it is really and Fanchon can talk to it more than I can, but really the goal is to make sure that we don't overlook the positive things and the people in the community that are making a difference. So,
let me go on. Girl, what you got going? If you're now you realize the other stations that they're taking notes, because, you know, February is like in 2 days.
Well, you and I have talked, Amos, extensively, and you know that, you know, I have a belief that we all know the media is a very powerful medium. And it is our commitment to use the power of the media to not only just cover the news, but also to use it in a way that can positively impact people. So we at Fox 59 and CBS4, we're all collectively committed to doing that. Now, when people, you know, and whenever we go out, we always hear, you guys always cover negative news. Where's the positive news? Well, A, you need to tell us about the positive news that's going on. So to all of you guys listening out there, we want to hear about the positive news. So what we've started here at Fox 59 is a segment called Community Hero. And you in the community can be part of this, because we are asking you to nominate people in the community that are doing positive things, that are challenging us to be better, that are uplifting each other, who are making a difference in their community, who are changing people's lives, who are doing things that's going to inspire us and give us hope in the human spirit. Every month we are going to recognize that person. Now, we know that there is more than just one person a month that's out there doing a positive thing, but this is a start. This is a chance for us as a news organization collectively to start to change the conversation, because we do realize, yes, we all know there's bad things that happen in the world, but for every one bad thing that happens out there, we know there's about 10 to 20 positive things that are going on. And we are so fortunate here in Fox 59 and also CBS4 to have a management team that values that just as much as we do. We can come in and say, look, we're missing the boat here. We know that we're not covering certain things as much as we can be. Let's make sure we pay attention to those things and make sure we make a concerted effort to do that.
Let me come back on positive news. Let me come back and ask Carrie and Paul, is it also that the community has to meet local television halfway and understand that maybe the way the positive story gets on is if the guest is willing to get up at 6 and 7 and 8 o'clock on a weekday morning or on Saturday morning or on Sunday morning, because you guys got all this weekend news opportunities, and again, you can get to sit on the couch or in the CBS4 chair.
Absolutely. You know, it is a two-way street, and we are so open to telling people stories and highlighting and talking about and showing the good news that's happening in our community. And we have tons of platforms to do that, from being on air, digital, social media.
Now, break down what is the digital and social media, because there may be some people listening that still operate in, I'm going to send you a written press release.
So digital would be all of our online products, so all of our websites, which would be fox59.com and cbs4indy.com, as well as our weather website that we just launched, theweatherauthority.com. And then our social media pages, our Facebook pages and our Twitter pages. So there's all different kinds of outlets for us to report news, tell stories, show stories, and then, of course, on all of our hours of television that we're on the air.
So Raymond, Anonymous, and Sherry, hold on. We'll take a break. They all want to talk to CBS4, Fox 59, or is it CBS 59, Fox 4, or any of the permutations thereof. We're live from Tribune in beautiful Pike Township. More after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Let me go back to the phones. Raymond, you're on the air at 239-1310. Go ahead.
Hey, Amos, quickly into the panel, I want to ask you a few questions. I've always wondered, for the other cities that are around us and the towns, I'm wondering, have you all ever thought about doing a program like Indiana Town Hall, or like you highlight neighborhoods? Because I know, like, Sherman and some of the other peoples go around, they go around to restaurants in specific locations, but have you all, or do you have affiliates in our small towns like Kokomo, Anderson, Bloomington, where we could see how their towns are doing apples to apples with us, and then also, like, maybe do a program other than that, it's just an idea, called Public Record, things we may not know about, but that's public record that you may be able to dig down and say, the tax sale's coming up, or these things are coming up, things you need to know so the community's involved. But I'm just wondering, have you thought about, like, doing more about Indiana and incorporate it to how Indianapolis is doing apples to apples?
All right, Raymond gave you all a whole lot of suggestions. Raymond's saying there are a lot of communities, obviously around Central Indiana. It's not just Indianapolis. And he mentioned Sherman going to all the restaurants. And he said, "Wait a minute, so Sherman goes to all the restaurants. Have you thought about doing things in different neighborhoods? Or okay, how is Kokomo doing in relation to Indianapolis? How is Lagodi doing in relation to that? Also." He talked about something, maybe do something called Public Record, the things we don't know about. See the ideas that come from the listeners?
Love hearing all those ideas. We actually have a segment on Fox 59 that we do every Friday called Your Town Friday, and Kristen Kane goes out to different communities, and she highlights all of the different things that are happening in that community, whether it's a particular event or something that they're known for. We've gotten great positive response on that, and she has done a fantastic job with that, and it's a great way to get us into smaller communities that we don't necessarily get to get into. But no, love hearing all the great ideas from the listeners.
Is that also part of the balancing act that this TV, that both of these stations reach 40 some odd counties, and it can't all be about Indianapolis all day, all the time?
Absolutely. We have to cover all the area.
239-1310, 239-1310, back to the phones. Anonymous, you're up next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Remus, as you were saying earlier, when somebody allegedly did something, the news flashed them all over TVs and the papers and everything. Why is it that they do not follow up to the end of the story?
All right. This is Anonymous asks a question I think a lot of people ask. There's a big story when someone is accused of wrongdoing in a crime. It's alleged, but the viewer never sees the follow-up where the charges drop. Was the person found guilty? Was the person found not guilty?
We do try to do our best of making sure that we follow through, especially if we're going out there and reporting that somebody has been accused of a crime. We definitely will see that story through. Because we are on so much, maybe the story doesn't get the same amount of attention that it got when we first did it. But we'll report it. It'll be online. And we'd love to hear from people that have questions, because we can revisit those cases as well.
On the stories that are out online, do they stay there until the cockroaches take over the world?
Yep, once they're up, they're up.
I want to ask Paul Rennie a Channel 4 question in this transition to CBS4, and given that the antenna for Channel 4 is in beautiful Trafalgar, halfway between here and Bloomington, have you gotten a lot of complaints about signal and people that had to go to, Channel 29, that you can see it a little bit better on the north side, those that aren't on cable, those that are getting it over the air on digital?
Yeah, absolutely, Amos, and great point. Thanks for bringing that up, because there are the two different signals that viewers can pick up. So if they can't pick it up south, they can switch over and pick it up on the north side as well. So we've actually heard that in some cases the coverage and the picture is better with the two different towers.
239-1310, back to the phones. And Sherry, you're on the air. Go ahead. Sherry? I think we answered Sherry's question. See, that's a good thing when you answer the particular question. 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is. Fanshawe talked about it a little bit with the project that she's doing about hometown heroes. What are the community affairs thrusts of the two stations?
Well, we certainly like to be involved in the community. And there are a number of events that we do throughout the year where we try to make a difference in the community. Just starting off at the beginning of this year, we were involved in the New Year's Eve celebration. And I thought that was a nice opportunity for the community to come together, to celebrate. It was the first time in Indianapolis that an event like that has happened for several years. And the weather was cold, right? Many of us were out there. The weather was very cold. But the attendance far surpassed the expectation, and it was nice to see the community get together for something like that. And interesting to see them drop that IndyCar at midnight, right? And that was certainly an opportunity for us to introduce our new CBS team as well. And Fanchon was down there as well, so it was a good night for us. But there are other important things that we are involved in with the community. We worked with the mayor's office on Pack the Pantries, and we generated over, not we, but the community and us together generated 26,000 pounds of food and over $20,000 in donations to help Pack Gleaners Food Bank and Midwest Food Bank as well. We worked together with those two. So that's another important event that we're involved in. We work with Habitat for Humanity. We do a panel build in the parking lot here. I think for those who watch Fox 59 on a regular basis, see the promo spots, the PSAs with many of our talent and other community folks who are building that. And our goal with Habitat this year is to build that project out, take on more of a larger role, and to let the community know on a regular basis what Habitat for Humanity does in this community. Those are some of the things that we do. Again, talking about bringing the community together, we're a sponsor of the Freedom Festival fireworks downtown July 4th, and that was a wonderful event last year that was well attended and good to have together. But I think one of the things that I've been very impressed with since I've been here, Amos, is the amount of community service and community involvement that these folks around the table are involved in. Very often, they're off speaking at events, donating and volunteering in the community. And I think that that's one of the reasons that they know what's going on in the community, and they're not just that person on TV, but they're somebody that's down at the Boys and Girls Club, or they're at the All-Pro Dads activities. And I think those things are important as well that you may not see on television, but it's an opportunity for our reporters and for our anchors to connect with the community.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We are out here at Fox 59 and CBS 4. We'll take a break when we come back, even though they don't want to say what's going to be on the news starting at 4. See, I'm learning all these times. It is an opportunity since there are two major stories that have broken in the last 18 hours involving the same guy. That's amazing. So we'll ask how this might be covered, since I know all these other news departments are saying, well, this is our opportunity to find out what are those people over there doing. 239-1310, 239-1310 is After News Names. Oh, and next week on the program, and probably Russ McQuaid will be mandated to listen so we can find out what's going on. It is in honor of After News with Amos's 11th anniversary start of the 12th year. We've decided that since the most important issue in Indianapolis, other than the potholes in the street, is who will be the next mayor of Indianapolis, we have invited all five of the current candidates for mayor. We're going to have one a day in our 2 o'clock hour next week, starting on Monday, Larry Vaughn. Then Tuesday, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. Larry Vaughn's the Democrat. Jocelyn is the Republican. Then on Wednesday, the one everybody's looking for, the newcomer, Republican Chris Brewer. Then on Thursday, Democrat Joe Hogsett. Then on Friday, the Deputy Mayor, Olgin Williams. All live. And we'll find out why are they running, who are they, what is their history, what issues are they important. That is all coming up. So in honor of our anniversary, who will be the next mayor of Indianapolis? One of those five will be it, unless some candidate comes out of the woodwork between now and next Friday. 239-1310. After News Amos, we're live from Fox 59 and CBS 4 after these.